The Music Business Worldwide podcast is supported by Volley Music, a leading financial management platform for the music industry. Volley enables you to track expenses, approve invoices, and make payments 24/7, 365 days a year. For your free trial, head to volleymusic.com. That's VOLYmusic.com.
Hello and welcome to the latest Music Business Worldwide podcast, supported by Volley Entertainment. Joining me on this podcast is David Israelite, the President and CEO of the National Music Publishers Association, or NMPA. As I'm sure you already know, the NMPA represents the interests of music publishers in the United States. And as I'm sure you can guess, David is joining me on this podcast to discuss one particular controversial topic. In the month this was recorded, April 2024, Spotify announced that it was changing the way it calculates mechanical royalty payments to songwriters and publishers in the US. Because Spotify's premium tier now offers a mix of audiobooks and music, Spotify believes that it can, legally speaking, recategorize its premium tiers as quote-unquote bundles. Because of this recategorization, Spotify is, to borrow a word from David, slashing the royalty rate that it pays songwriters and publishers in the United States. How is Spotify able to do this? David will explain. But as a curtain raiser, the NMPA and Spotify have a long history of squabbling over the percentage of revenue that streaming services like Spotify have to pay to songwriters in the US. This rate is ultimately decided every 5 years, ideally by impartial judges on the Copyright Royalty Board. You may remember that the Copyright Royalty Board increased rates for songwriters and publishers from streaming services a few years ago, covering the period 2018 to 2022. You may also remember that Spotify then appealed to try and get the rates they paid songwriters lowered, and that in the end, the Copyright Royalty Board sided with the songwriters and upheld the higher rate. Now, for the five-year period from 2023 to 2027, so that's the five-year period we're now in, the NMPA, Spotify, and other streaming services agreed a settlement with a slightly higher headline royalty rate than the one that went before. However, within that settlement was a clause on how so-called bundled services would be paid versus pure music streaming services. This is the clause that Spotify will be taking advantage of via its self-appointed recategorization of premium accounts on its service as quote-unquote bundles. Adding to the fun, if you can follow this, for a pure music subscription on a service like Spotify, songwriters in the US are paid a percentage of the amount you pay over each month for your subscription. However, for a music plus something bundle, so in Spotify's case, music plus audiobooks, songwriters only get paid a percentage of the portion of your subscription that is deemed applicable to music rather than being applicable to audiobooks. A percentage of the other portion of the price you pay for your subscription, you see, would then be paid to audiobook rights holders. So music rights holders only get a percentage of a percentage of what you pay. Audiobook rights holders would then get a percentage of the other percentage of what you pay. A lot of percentages, but hopefully that makes sense. I get into all of this and more with David Israelite on this podcast as he explains why, as things stand, it's looking likely that the NMPA may mount a legal challenge against Spotify's latest move. David Israelite, welcome to the Music Business Worldwide podcast. It's been a fun couple of weeks in terms of the NMPA's relationship with Spotify and Spotify choosing to, internally at least, recategorize the premium subscription tiers on its service as quote-unquote bundles. This obviously has connotations for how they pay mechanical royalties in the US under the 2022 agreement. Before we dig into the details of that and the NMPA's plan around it, can I just get your initial reaction, because NMPA and Spotify had been duking it out for some time over the pay that went to publishers and songwriters. Spotify was trying to reduce that pay and appeal against an agreed royalty rate at a certain point. But I believe the 2022 agreement represented some peace between the parties. That now appears to be broken. So can I just get your initial reaction on what Spotify are trying to do?
Sure. And it's been more than a fun couple of weeks. This has been a problem with this company for 13 years. Spotify launched in the United States in July of 2011, and consistently, this is a company that has treated songwriters, the people that make their business possible, as indentured servants. And what's happened just recently is just one in a long list of examples of where this company has been hostile to the songwriters. So this most recent example is an attempt by Spotify to reclassify their service under U.S. law, the result of which would be a massive deduction in what they pay songwriters. And so this is something that we believe is legally questionable, but regardless of that, is something that demonstrates their hostility to the very songwriters that make their business possible.
Let's get into it then. So this recategorization or reclassification of Spotify's premium tiers as a bundle, I think probably the best thing to do is to give you my understanding so far, and maybe you can fill in the blanks or correct me, and we'll get to a place where the listener hopefully understands even better than I do. So Spotify, as I say, and as you pointed out, now says that its Spotify premium tiers in the US are categorized as bundles. And under the 2022 agreement between NMPA and Spotify via the Copyright Royalty Board, bundles are paid at, generally speaking, a lower royalty rate than just music-only services. What I am slightly confused by or intrigued by, and I'll give you my take on this, is Spotify recently launched an audiobooks-only tier. So I should point out, obviously, listeners will know, but the bundle Spotify is claiming is audiobooks plus music. So Spotify recently launched an audiobooks only tier. I believe it's $9.99 in the US. So it gives you access to premium access to audiobooks, but you can only access the ad-funded or free music tier. And as I say, they ascribed a value of $9.99 to that. What we read in Bloomberg and what Daniel Ek seemed to hint at on the earnings call just gone is that Spotify will soon launch a music-only tier, i.e. you can have just premium access to music. Whether or not you can get access, some free access to audiobooks, I don't know, but it will be primarily a music-only streaming tier for $10.99. And what will follow and or come in tandem with those is a price rise for the top tier. So the Spotify premium tier will move from $10.99 to $11.99. What I am guessing is going to happen, and again, this is just me plucking out of the air what I think they're probably going to do, is I will get an email, or you will get an email, that says, "Hey, David, thanks for subscribing to Spotify Premium for so long. It's now $11.99. And technically speaking, it's now Spotify Music plus audiobooks. If you want to manually demote your tier to music only, click here." But of course, why would you? Because it's just a dollar less and you're getting free access to, or additional access to, these audiobooks. My problem, if I've understood the formula of where this goes next, is the value within the $11.99 that you're paying for what Spotify is determining as a bundle, and how they decide how much of that is the value of that should be ascribed to audiobooks and how much should be ascribed to music. I'll explain it better. I think what they're going to do, and obviously I know that some agreements will be confidential here, but if you could talk around it, it'd be helpful. I think what they're going to do is say, but we launched a $9.99 a month audiobooks app, which just gives you audiobooks, and we launched a $10.99 music only app. And so therefore there is roughly parity, the difference between $10.99 and $9.99. So I don't know, 52, 54% and the balance, that there was roughly parity between the value of audiobooks and music. Now, just speaking personally, I've been a subscriber to Spotify for a long, long time. There's no way that in my personal experience, I would ascribe near parity, near 50% of the value of what I'm experiencing from Spotify to audiobooks. They pushed audiobooks on me last year. It was a nice bonus. I'm very happy and understand that there may be a discussion around whether or not that counts as a bundle, because I have indulged in the audiobooks, but I'd never say that they were close to 50% of the value. So that's my understanding, my rough take. I have been in touch with Spotify, who have declined to clarify the detail that I'm looking for. But, you know, what's your reaction to what I've just painted? Am I along the right lines of what they're trying to do?
Sure. So two quick things before I dig into the details. First of all, something that I'll probably have to repeat often during this conversation. is that this is likely to end up in a legal conflict. And so I need to be cautious as to what I say now, because I certainly don't want to do anything that compromises what might be a legal position of the songwriting and music publishing community. It's very unfortunate that we're headed down that road, but it's a fact. The second thing is it's very important that people understand the way that music publishers and songwriters are forced to license these services in the United States. Unlike record labels, who are in a free market, and they negotiate the details of every one of their individual contracts with every different offering that a Spotify may put out, we are forced to live under this compulsory license in the United States, where every 5 years, three judges hold a trial and then decide on a rate structure that is in place for 5 years, like a menu with set pricing. And what we are now forced to do is watch companies like Spotify try to manipulate that predetermined structure to pay songwriters less. Now, in the most recent trial, we ended up settling the trial, which is a decision that you make when you feel like you can do better with an agreement than going to this court process. So we are living under a settlement that was offered to the court and adopted. And in that settlement, we were forced to accept certain realities about a structure that we don't like. One of them being the availability of these things that we call bundles. Now, to your specific question, here's what we know. We know that back in November of last year, Spotify started giving away the audiobook function as part of your music subscription service. You didn't ask for it as a customer. You weren't notified that you were now in some kind of different plan. It just was there. And also, let's be clear, there was limitations on it. It was 15 hours of listening for your audiobook functionality. Then what Spotify did on March 1st was launch an independent product called Audiobooks, which has the same limitations that was, I believe, also at $9.99. So their suggestion was that you can pay $9.99 just to get audiobooks with limitations, or you can pay $10.99 and get audiobooks plus everything else that came with your music subscription. And importantly, you've been getting audiobooks free for basically half a year. And so it was the offering of this independent audiobook product, which they don't seem to be promoting. It doesn't seem to be priced at a value proposition that makes any sense to a customer. They are now claiming that therefore their music subscription qualifies as this thing called a bundle and gets to pay under different rates. And the net result is to drastically slash what they pay songwriters. We think it's in bad faith. We think it violates both the letter and spirit of what we've agreed to. And that's why it's likely to be a legal conflict and why I'm limited as to what I can say right now about that. But it clearly is something that seems like it was manipulated to take advantage of what they may think is a loophole in the law.
Well, as an observer, that does seem what it seems to be. I guess the way that they could disprove that, just thinking as we talk, is if they can show that there's been mass adoption of the audiobooks tier. I don't know the NMPA or the publisher's private agreements with digital services, and I wouldn't expect you to talk about the details of them. But if I looked at YouTube Premium, for example, I'm a subscriber to YouTube Premium. It gets me the YouTube Music app. It also gets me ad-free experience on YouTube. Now, there will be data that shows that I'm a voracious user of YouTube, both professionally and personally, and have been for 10 years. So there would be a fair value ascribed to that versus the amount of time I spend on the YouTube Music app, I imagine. But my confusion with the Spotify thing is really, to your point, they pushed audiobooks on me. I was happy to have them as a subscriber, but I didn't ask for them. And you can't now then say that the value of the audiobooks component of this is the equivalent of $9.99 versus whatever value they put on music, because there was at no point, speaking personally, was I willing to pay $9.99 for the audiobooks part of it. So I'm just confused about their approach here.
Well, I don't think you should be confused. It seems fairly clear to me. This seems to be an attempt to pay songwriters less. So in theory, bundles are not a bad thing. And the way that it should work is the way that it works with record labels, where if someone wants to include your music into a business proposition that offers a customer something that bundles your music with something that's a non-music product. Then there would be a discussion. There would be an explanation why it would be good for the music owner or representative to be bundled at that price point, and you would come to an agreement. That's not what happens with songwriters. Songwriters are told they must bundle their songs, whether they like it or not. It's a preset rate structure, whether they like it or not. And it is open for manipulation so that people can try to take advantage of bundling in a way that would pay songwriters less under a structure that they would not accept. They would not agree to if they were in a free market. And that's the problem with how we do licensing of songwriters and music publishers today. I think you raise a very important point, which is, who is the audience for audiobooks only? Because as a music subscriber to Spotify, you've already been getting it for free for almost half a year. So if you are a subscriber to Spotify today, it's very hard to imagine why you would then subscribe to a $9.99 audiobook product. So they must be trying to sell that product to people who don't have music subscription services. We will obviously be looking into what are they doing to market that product. The other thing that I think you brought up that is very important is today, as we have this conversation, you do not even have an option to have a music subscription service with Spotify that doesn't have audiobooks already embedded in the product. And all of these things are important facts that all contribute toward the conclusion that we have about what they're doing and why they're doing it.
Whether or not you can tell me, and I'm guessing not, what value Spotify... So let's say at the minute it's a $10.99 a month price point for Spotify Premium. What Bloomberg reporters suggest that may move to $11.99, maybe even $12.99. But let's just say it moves to $11.99. It's called Spotify Music Plus Audiobooks. Is my understanding correct? Now, I know that there's three prongs to the way that publishers and songwriters get paid out of Spotify. We're going to have to get into the nitty-gritty a little bit here. But from a more basic level, is my understanding correct that what Spotify is claiming and or will claim is that there's a headline percentage rate of mechanical royalties that publishers and songwriters are paid. That's one of the three prongs, but I'll just stick to that for now because I find it easier to understand. That percentage will be a percentage of the part of your quote-unquote bundle where the value of music is ascribed. So you only get the headline rate percentage of the percentage of what you pay for your quote-unquote bundle and not the audiobooks part. Have I understood that correctly?
Yes, that is basically right. In the United States, we have a very complicated rate structure of how songwriters and music publishers are paid. And the reason it's complicated is because it's a cookie cutter approach where you have to agree on a structure that applies for 5 years and you don't know exactly what a business is going to do with your music. And so, for example, we would love to get paid every time you stream a song. We've asked for that from the court. The court said no. We generally get paid on a percentage of revenue, and that has been the headline rate that people talk about, where we are entitled to 15.2% of the revenue generated by these services. That is what is expected to be how we're paid. In our rate structure, we have two other ways to get paid that protect us if the revenue goes down potentially artificially. One of them is we're guaranteed a minimum of a percentage of what record labels get paid. And that is basically 26.2%. Or we're guaranteed a minimum of an amount per subscriber, which is 66 cents. The reason why those two other alternate ways to get paid are important is take a hypothetical where Spotify decides to give away its music subscription for free. They might have reasons to do that. Well, under a percentage of revenue, we would get nothing then. So these other two alternate ways to get paid were put into the law to protect us from downward pricing pressure on these types of services. What was not really anticipated is that someone would try to avoid the headline rate or the 15.2% of revenue rate by trying to call something what it's not or recharacterize a service into a different type of category for the purpose of paying less. And that's what we're concerned about is going on here.
I understand. So just for clarity, the 26.2%, I think that's the total content costs prong, if I remember rightly, that's 26.2% of what the labels are paid. Is that, did I understand that right? So that whatever they get paid.
What record labels get paid. And there's a very important point here. We only now have 1 month of data from what Spotify has done, because they launched this service on March 1st, audiobooks, which I don't think was an accident that they did it on the first of a month. And then they reported their royalties to the Mechanical Licensing Collective, as they're required to do, at the end of the month of March. And what we understand is that record labels did not get their royalties reduced. And that makes sense, because record labels, as we've talked about, get to contract privately with Spotify in a free market. If they don't like what Spotify is doing, they don't have to license it. So this change to a what they're calling a bundled service doesn't seem to be impacting record labels and artists. It only seems to be impacting in a negative way songwriters and music publishers.
So songwriters and publishers are forced to take a percentage of a percentage, while labels can continue seemingly on the deal, if not a slightly tweaked deal versus what they had before.
Well, one interesting question is whether record labels, this is even considered really a bundle, or are they just getting paid under the same rate structure they were before March 1st when they launched a $9.99 audiobooks product that doesn't seem to be appealing to many people?
I've seen language from Spotify. They put a statement out alongside their announcement that they were doing this reclassification, recategorization. They put an announcement saying, we will pay publishers more in 2024 than we did in 2023. However, I've run some basic math. I may do some more either when I publish this podcast or between the two. I can't see a way that can be true in the United States. So I think that they're referring globally, but I think it looks inevitable from the rough estimates that I'm able to make. Again, Spotify has declined to clarify further what value they're going to ascribe to music versus audiobooks within your bundle. It looks inevitable to me that songwriters in the US, even if Spotify grows, and even if it puts it grows to a reasonable degree, let's say to the expectation analysts have, the amount of subscribers on its service, and it puts its price up by a dollar, it seems to me that songwriters and publishers will almost certainly get, like for like, less money in mechanical royalties. This is based just off the headline rate, I must say, but less money in the United States than they did in 2023. Does your math tell you the same thing?
So when Spotify decided to make this change, there was no discussion with us. There was no real advance notice to us. In fact, I got a text message about 24 hours before the report happened with no explanation whatsoever. And one of the things that I think that we know is that Spotify, when they did this, knew what they were doing, and they put out a very interesting statement along with the announcement that you referenced. They basically said two things in their statement. First, they try to argue that what they're doing is the same thing that other digital companies are doing. That's not true. What they're doing is unique, it's uniquely bad, and it is not the same as the bundles that other companies like Amazon are doing. The second thing that they said was that we will pay more royalties to songwriters and publishers in 2024 than we did in 2023. Now, Spotify has a long history of putting out deceiving, disingenuous statements to try to fool songwriters about what they're doing. It's what they did when they appealed our victory in the last CRB, and they were appealing the increase in the rate, and they tried to put out misinformation to fool songwriters. Let's be clear. Even if it's true that they pay songwriters more in 2024 than they did in 2023, what they're not telling you is they're not paying songwriters as much as they should under our new rate structure. So they're trying to make it look like they're doing better, but what they're trying to hide is they're actually not coming close to doing as well as they had promised to do. And so that's why I find that public statement they put out deceiving and intended to fool songwriters about the impact of what they're doing with this decision. Now, to answer the question about the actual numbers of what they pay, we don't know yet. We don't know what their price increases are going to be. We don't know how much record labels are going to get paid and thus the percent of that we're going to get. They also are probably including other payments to songwriters that come from public performance or synchronization or lyric licensing, and not just focusing on mechanicals, which this is primarily a mechanical royalty model. But the statement is deceiving. That is clear.
If you listen to, and I'm imagining we're two of the 500 people around the world that probably do this, but if you listen to Spotify's earnings call, the most recent one, that's Q1 2024, Daniel Ek, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he seems to say that, 2024 is going to be the year of monetization for Spotify. And what he's really referring to is that they have become profit obsessed. And as you know, Q1 2024 was the largest operating profit that Spotify has ever posted. It has reduced the amount of money it spends on marketing its service, i.e. saving margin there. It has very famously laid off around 1,500 people over the course of 2023, again, saving margin there. How much motivation do you think margin saving, profit fixation at Spotify has had on its decision to recategorize premium as a bundle?
Well, the timing of this earnings call, the timing of the knowledge that Daniel Ek cashed out $118.8 million for himself in stock. At the same time, they are trying to slash what they pay songwriters. I think the timing's just terrible for them. We've talked about this before, but obviously, I don't begrudge any company from trying to make a profit. The problem with Spotify's approach to songwriters is that the way that a company should try to make a profit is with business partners who give the inputs with agreed upon pricing. That's not what's happening here. The songwriters are forced to license this to Spotify in a way that they're unhappy with. They're being made to do it when they don't want to do it. And I think that you can have a profitable business and also pay songwriters fairly. That's what our last settlement was all about. The other thing from the earnings call that I found extremely interesting is that there seemed to be an emphasis, and I believe you reported on this, about how Spotify wants to expand into offering other types of products to consumers for things that include short form video or competing with TikTok. What's so curious to me about that is that for those types of business offerings, that's an area where they actually need the permission of songwriters and music publishers. And I just don't understand the strategy of waging all-out war on what you pay them under the compulsory rate structure for mechanicals, but then saying, but in the future, we're going to ask them to be our partners when it comes to things that we want to do that involve rights they have, where they actually are in a free market. It's just not how business partners should operate together.
I didn't realize that. So in order to get licensing for short-form video, they're going to have to do the meetings with individuals such as yourself and or one-on-one.
Well, not myself, to be clear. I don't own or represent any particular copyrights. That's a conversation they're going to have with every individual music publisher, and every individual music publisher is going to do whatever they think's best. I just don't understand the strategy of acting so hostile to the industry when your goal is to develop new partnerships with them in the future.
Yes. Well, it's fair to say, I'm sure you're not at liberty to reveal such things, that the conversations I've had with, let's say, large music publishers echo much of the anger and disdain that I'm hearing on this conversation in terms of their reaction to Spotify recategorizing premium as a bundle and the impact it's going to have on various publishing businesses. So this will be my last question. I understand you're completely restricted in what you have to say here. You've made reference to it once, but if you could paint the picture of the likelihood that NMPA will take legal action here. Ultimately, if we take your point of view, what you said before, you believe that Spotify is trying to find a loophole in the black and white agreement, the contract that you signed with the CRB in 2022. What's the likelihood of you as the NMPA and representing that part of the industry taking legal action against Spotify? And if you believe it to be likely, how confident are you that you have a strong case?
So this has been an exhausting relationship. And it goes back, as I mentioned, a long time. You know, prior to 2016, Spotify was a company that engaged in massive infringement of songwriter rights. We actually worked with them to try to fix that problem and clean it up. And we did so because we believed that the transition from an era of theft of music to legal music services was an important one. And let's get this out of the way. Spotify deserves credit for helping move consumers into paying streaming models. That was a long time ago, and it doesn't entitle you now to treat songwriters in the way that they're treating them. We then had a settlement that they pulled out of in 2018. We then won a massive rate increase in our third Copyright Royalty Board hearing, which then Spotify engaged in a scorched earth approach to appeal and deny the benefit of that increase. They then made proposals in CRB4 that would have been the lowest rates in the history of songwriting and streaming. And now, after what we thought was reaching a settlement for this five-year period where we could actually start working together as business partners, they're now taking this approach. You're right. I'm restricted as to what I should or will say about any legal conflict with the company. But I will just say that it's extremely unfortunate that we're back talking about conflict with a company that should be trying to build partnerships. And there is a real opportunity for other music streaming services to step in and show that they are better friends to songwriters. And so I'm very curious to see what companies like Apple and Amazon will do when they have an opportunity to take a different path than what Spotify has been taking. And so all I'll say is stay tuned in terms of what we're going to do in reaction to this move. Nothing for me to announce here and now, but it's not what we want. What we want is to work cooperatively with licensing partners, which is what we thought we had achieved in the last settlement. But unfortunately, we're back to the same relationship of one of conflict, one of them trying to extract our rights without us being happy or satisfied or feeling like we're being treated fairly. And that's just a terrible way to run a business.
David Israelite, thank you very much for joining us on the MBW podcast.